I am very excited today to have a dear friend of mine, friend that I've known for a very long time, Curtis A. Bell. He is a financial tycoon advisor. He's a mogul of sorts. He's a outdoorsman. He's a hunter. He's a golfer. Some say the next Scheffler. And I'm very excited to have him on today to, you know, share stories, learn some financial advice, because I'm dumb. I don't know. And I know a bunch of our listeners don't know a lot about, you know, investments and everything like that. So I've reached out to the number one guy in Southeast Texas. I believe he just won an award.
Something like that.
You won an award for, you know, being the GOAT, they said. So.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. Mitchell reached out. We've been talking about doing this podcast this Sunday, and he was like, I'm going to get a guest. And I was like, funny enough, Pooh just messaged me. Oh, yeah, nickname, Pooh. So I'm going to refer to him as that all afternoon. But he's like, we need a guest. I was like, I got one.
We actually got, hopefully within the next coming weeks, we got a few guests lined up. So we should be pumping out a couple more episodes here in the upcoming future.
Yeah. I mean, we could keep doing them solo, like me and Mitch, Tanner. Joe doesn't talk on it, but Joe's also in the background. You won't hear from
him.
Shout out, Joe. But anyway, Pooh, to get started, like to segue into, you know, you being the guy for financial advice, you've had a very exotic youth. Like, I never, knowing you as a teenager and growing up, I never would have thought I would trust you with money.
Yeah.
And now I do wholeheartedly, but you've done some shit.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, collectively, we've done some shit.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
My dad always used to say, you learn by doing, and we sure did a lot of doing. So you kind of take those lessons with you along the way, and hopefully you grow from them, which we have. And here we are now. What am I, 30, 33? And I said last year when I turned 32, I said the 16-year-old version of me would be very pleased with the 32-year-old version of me.
Oh, yeah. I think that goes along with every single one of us.
Oh, dude. Yeah. But I will tell you, Pooh actually was a big part in our business. He helped us actually set up our business when we first got started.
We truthfully would not be here, honestly. Like, and I'm not trying to, you know, suck you off, Pooh, but you helped us get this thing where it was today.
Yeah, yeah, that was one of my first many endeavors when I was starting out this career. You know, you're just, as a young financial advisor, you're just trying to make money the best way possible, but still by giving, you know, really good advice and not just selling stuff with high commissions and fees just to make money, because that always, it's always going to come back around to bite you, right? You do the right thing for people, put your best foot forward, and it'll always come back. So that was one of the things I was doing, because I had to do it for myself to start my business, my LLC. And once I did it, you know, I had a couple other buddies that were starting some small companies. And once you know the process, it's a lot of paperwork, a lot of dealing with the government, couple fees here and there, and then you're off to the races. Hopefully you have a good accountant, too.
Well, you got us hooked up with our accountant. You got us literally, like, our tax lady, everything – business-wise of this all started with you. So we're definitely, you know, thank you for not leading us astray and not giving us the shaft. Like you said, you gave forth good, and I think it's paid off well. I remember one of your first jobs, Pooh. You were like a ski instructor, or you just worked the gondola.
Yeah, that was when I was up in Houston, and this was before I got into finances, right after high school. And I was working up there with a guy by the name of Callan Brooks, who's from this area.
Shout out, Callan.
Shout out, Callan. And he still lives in Houston with his wife and kids. And we had a job together. And as you can imagine, right out of college, we didn't take it too serious. We had a lot of time off. And eventually that caught up to me, and ended up moving to Colorado to work at a ski resort. And I did that from December 1st to about March 15th.
What is that? What all goes into, like, working at a ski resort?
Oh, man. Well, you just have different there's different like groups, right? You can be a ski instructor, which is I was not. I just worked on the mountain. You can do security. You can do like the check-in hospitality, and then you can work the lifts, which we did work the lift. And you live in employee housing, and it's basically like going back to college, because everyone lives up there, works up there together, but you don't go to class. And you're making decent money, I mean, enough to live and to save up there. So it's a good time. I mean, if you're a young kid, you know, getting out of school, not sure what you want to do, and you like the mountains, you like to ski, head up there. It's a good time.
Yeah, you took a posse with you. I remember, like, it was like you, Jeff Coat. Doesn't Brock still do it?
Brock still lives up
Brock
there.
Brock still does it.
Jack Lawrence did it with me. Shane, his cousin. So it was
Koenig?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time up there.
Yeah, I just remember that was like a time where I was like, I don't know what the hell these guys got going on, but I'm definitely not going to invest money with them.
Yeah, now, that time.
Here we are, what, 10 years yeah, later?
10 years later. But what age did you start? Before we start getting into, you know, any kind of good advice, because I know Mitchell has a really important question to ask you here in a little bit about financial advice. When do you start getting into it? Like, what age?
I think I can first remember one of my first jobs was working at Brentwood Country Club, and I was just a cart boy, right? Carts come in. You put all the carts out in the morning. You take out the trash, put water in the coolers, and they come out. You clean them out, rinse and repeat, basically. And all these old guys just all day just used to talk about, oh, my stock made this, and my stock's up this. And when we were growing up, and y'all are the same way, I mean, the only time you were making money is if you were physically working, manual labor most of the time. And I just thought, you can make money just by owning something and not having to work for it. And sure enough, that's what a stock is, or an investment of multiple kinds. And that's the first I remember. So I was 16 then, and just kind of got into it, started dabbling a little then. Not much, really, at all, because I was a cart boy again. And went to college for finance, graduated from Mississippi State, Hell State. And after that, you know, I just got my own accounts rolling. And once you start putting some money in and you give it some time to do its thing and you check back and say, well, I didn't have to do anything for that, it just grows like that. Then you think, man, I should have put more. I wish I would have put more. I wish I would have started earlier. And so then you kind of get, for me personally, you just get kind of ate up with it, where you just want to tell people about it, right? And, hey, if you do this, this is what's happening. And, you know, we're not promising you returns and we're going to double your money in this amount of time, but just compounding interest, which somebody called it the ninth great wonder of the world, compounding interest for your money, just making money time after time.
Yeah, what's the dictionary definition of compound interest for our young viewers? Because there's a lot of high schoolers who don't know, and this is not trying to derail us off this, we're going to get right back to it, but like I had a kid that started working with me here a while back, and he got his first check, and he goes, why is there money taken out of this? I was like, that's taxes. He's like, what do you, like he had zero clue that the government takes from you. It was astounding, but I was like, I guess they don't teach that shit anymore.
No. So compounding interest is your interest that you have paid out. You make an initial investment into an investment, whether it's a stock, bond, ETF, piece of property. Well, I guess, yeah, property will work too. Any type of investment that pays out an interest, you put that back into the initial investment. So let's say you buy an ETF at $1,000. Well, then every quarter, whether they pay out monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, yearly, you just take and reinvest that interest. And then the next time it pays out again, you're getting paid out on the interest that you put back in. So that one single $1,000 investment over the course of, shit, give it 30 years, you're going to be looking at a couple hundred grand from $1,000. Just because of compounding interest, and it's paying you back every time and time again. Now, sure, it might drop in value over the course of some time, but historically speaking, everything comes back up, and the longer you leave it in, you know, some would even say invest more when the market's down, which is a lot of what we do. But for compounding interest, that's just, you know, letting it do its thing.
Thank you for that. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of questions of you're gonna, you know, it's smooth talk for you, and we've been in, you know, had jobs for long enough that we understand a little bit of financial talk, but
very little on my end. Like, I really, I'm still like, I look at all this shit and just like, I still don't know a lot.
Yeah.
Now I'm 30 now. I feel like I should know more, but as you get older, you start thinking about it more and more. You know what I mean? You start thinking about, okay, when the hell can I get out of here and retire? And for me, it's like, all I got is 401k right now. And I can't take that until I'm 59 and a half without penalty. So, mm-hmm. You know, you start thinking about other ways. Oh, how could I retire a little earlier? You know, have money to get me by till I get my 401k, shit like that. But,
and that's why you're here. Just kind of, you know, we want to actually educate. Not all our podcasts are dumb. We like to educate the children sometimes. So figured you would be a
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because especially down here, a lot of young people make a lot of good money. I mean, six figures right out of high school, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're in the top 10% or bottom 10%, like, you can make that happen out here. And a lot of times we see people make really good money at a young age, but then that's the first time they've ever had really good money. So, of course, you want to spend it, right? You want to get a new truck, get a boat, get an RV or a ATV. Maybe get a deer lease.
Yeah, I
right?
think Tanner, you're saying that Tanner just bought like a $90,000 motorhome. I mean, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Tanner, I don't know what he does. I think he's the president of Goodyear now. But yeah, $90,000 motorhome.
Yeah. And I mean, if that's what you want to do and you're going to spend time with it, with your family, that's an investment that, you know, those memories are more than money, right? So I'm not saying don't spend your money, but if, to Mitch's point, if you're trying to think, how do I get out of here before I'm 59 and a half and have something to live on, that's where my mind started going after I started just investing. I started, you know, with $1,000 and started with that. And then after you see that, you just keep adding on and adding on. And then you'll see, okay, here's a dip and I've got 20 grand in the bank and the market's down 15-20%. Throw it all in.
Do you remember your very first investment, your personal investment?
Yeah, it was a CD from we were in Hampshire Finette. They had Prosperity Bank in Winnie, which I think is still Prosperity Bank. I don't know if they've changed.
I know all I know of is Texas First, and then they got
Common Sense.
Common Sense.
No, they
that's
got
new.
Prosperity over there. I think Prosperity's still running. I think Rhonda DeVillier is running over there.
Shout out Rhonda.
And when we were, I mean, probably it was either middle school or intermediate. And one of their bankers came there, and they basically gave a presentation and were wanting us kids to invest or tell our parents to invest. But at the bank, they didn't have securities. Securities are ETFs, mutual funds, kind of things with more risk. Banks just do CDs. And I remember buying my first CD with like $150, all the money I could find in my room, bank, piggy bank, you know, sock drawer, everything. And put it in, and then the next year it matured. It matured at 1 year, and I thought I was going to have 100 grand. You know, I put $150 into a CD at, I don't know, 12 years old, something like that, and it was like 156 after it matured. So that was probably my first investment, and then just learn and learn and learn from there.
For people that don't know, CD is a certificate of deposit.
Correct.
And it just grows money over time. It's a very safe way to put some money away for you young people, especially the high schoolers. You got a little summer job at Green Acres or whatever. Throw $150 in there.
There you go. It might be like 165 nowadays. Interest rates have kind of bumped up a little bit.
Yeah. So,
I got a question for you. So, my situation for me, I got 401k, right? Can't touch it till I'm 59 and a half. Say I want to retire at like 55. Okay, what advice would you give me, like, as far as investment-wise to start growing some money? Like, do I just, you know, come to you and say, hey, man, I want to, you know, start contributing to an account every month and try to grow it to, you know,
so
for the
we
next
do,
20 years?
What we do, like, personally, myself and Q5 Wealth Management here in Beaumont, and we got an office in Houston as well. You know, you come to us and we look at everything you've got going on. So we'll look at your 401k. We'll look at your income for the year, your wife's income, you know, how old your kids are, what's your plans for the kids, what do you owe on the home, do you have any outside investments, do you have property anywhere, and look at everything as a whole and then build you a financial plan using all that information. So then you have better, you're basically using all the data to make a better recommendation. So then you take, all right, if you're making X amount and you're contributing to your 401k at work, which is always a good option because they're giving you that free money, what we call, they're matching, you know, 6%, at least do 6%. And then to get, you know, a little more in detail with that, if they offer after-tax 401k, which is like a Roth IRA. So traditional 401k, you're paying, you're not paying taxes on any of the money that goes in month after month, right? It's through work, it's your 401k, you're making money, they're pulling it out before any taxes get put in, and then your company's matching. Now, when you retire, every dollar that comes out of that account will be taxed. In comparison, still today, if your company allows it, they have an after-tax or a Roth 401k where you can invest. There's limits for, it's like 23.5 this year, but that money that goes in, you pay taxes in today's dollars. And then it, whatever that account grows to at retirement, you're never paying taxes again. So always contribute to the 401k, at least what they're giving you, the match. On different situations, right, it's good to invest in the after-tax too. And then in addition with that, that's when you start your after-tax, like you would open with us or just like online somewhere. And then from there, depending on what all you have going on, we're probably going to be investing in individual equities and, you know, trying to grow it.
Yeah.
I know that was a lot.
No,
break that down if we need.
No, that was perfect. That's perfect. I mean, because I'm not going to say we have a huge viewing, but a lot of them are just blue collar boys. They work, they might not know a lot of this stuff, and they only have a 401k.
Well, and on that, there's some, you know, horror stories that I've heard of people that work for 20, 30 years at one company and have always contributed to their 401k, but have actually never made an investment decision in that 401k. So I think all the money you're putting in your 401k, you thought, yeah, I'm doing good. I got set up with HR when I started. I got my, you know, they're adding money to it, but you're just in cash and they're just contributing cash. So you always want to make sure that you're picking an investment decision inside your 401k.
Yeah, I mean, probably half the people I work with, and not half, but several of them, I mean, probably don't even know what they're investing in. They just know their 401k is slowly growing, and they don't really, you know, look into it too much.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of people that are, like, a really good friend of mine that I work with. I mean, he's 50 now, and I remember when he turned 40, he was like, I think I might need to start investing in a 401k. I was like, oh, you don't have anything? He's like, no, I don't. So he started investing at 40 years old. I was like, you know.
Yeah, it's late in the game.
That
goes back to the compounding interest. I mean, it'll come up on Instagram, TikTok, all that. And you can pull up the, just like any report on it. But if you start investing, let's say, you know, $1,000 a month when you're 20 and it grows to X amount, you can start. It, compared to if you would have started investing $5,000 at 45, investing late never catches up. Even though you're investing three or four times as much compared to starting early and letting compound interest do its thing, year after year after year, you're going to be light years ahead. So that's the one thing. I mean, obviously, start young. So if you're just trying to invest, you know, like $1,000 a month or get started with that, look for good ETFs, which is an exchange-traded fund, and you just put your money in there month after month after month, and it'll, you know, as it grows, that one investment continues to grow, to grow, to grow, and then you have more options with what to do with that money when you're starting out young.
So would you recommend, like, because I know, like I have multiple little, like, things that I just mess around with. Like, I have a Coinbase, and I have a Robin Hood, and I have all this stuff that I like. I don't have a lot of money at all. I just try to, you know, but like some people might think that's like, okay, I'm investing this in Dogecoin, so I'm going to retire off of it. But like you'd recommend as a young person to reach out to someone like you or another financial advisor. That's probably the safe bet on.
Yeah. Yeah. At least just get your, ask your questions out there, ask your questions and get some good advice. And everyone's probably going to have different advice. Like my advice, what I'm telling you is just my personal experience, what's worked for me, what's worked for my clients, you know, to get to where we're at now. But always probably ask advice, and especially some of these young kids, don't get caught up in these penny stocks. I know the penny stocks are hot topic, especially in the refineries. Like, hey, I heard this stock, it's, you know, under $5 and it's fixing to be the next big thing. Yes, some of those could be true. I'm going to say probably one in a thousand. It's just, that's a losing game.
Yeah, that's not good odds.
But then again, I mean, Cheniere, we always hear, especially down here, we always hear the story about Cheniere, right? All the refinery workers heard something was going on at LNG, and they were buying it for under $5, and now it's over 100.
Well, it's like, so, like the GameStop deal.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's another thing we say is it doesn't have to make sense. Like, it doesn't have to make common sense to make money sense, because there's just it's supply and demand, right? Some people hear one thing about it, some people hear another, and then it runs up and you get everybody on board, and it, as you saw, it ran up, and then somebody pulls the rug out and a couple people are left, you know, holding a decent sized bag, and the other people are thinking, well, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I don't understand a bunch of shit that goes into all that, like inflating stocks and all that. But the question I have for you, I was going to ask you, so, you know, a couple of us are newly fathers, you know, for the children. You know, I got a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old, and, you know, when they're 18, I'd like to say, all right, buddy, here you go. I invested this for you when you were born or whatever, and this for your college, whatever. What would you recommend, you know, as far as, like, investing in something and contributing to something for them? Like, when they turn 18, you can give that to them as, like, a departing gift, I guess, for college.
I think the go-to is a 529 account, which is, like, a state-sponsored plan that you can invest, and there's certain contribution limits each year. But basically, you're investing in it, and you're getting a tax deduction on your taxes because you're making that contribution to your kids, and then at either age 18 or whatever age you decide, above 18, right, could be 19, 20, 21, whatever, then that money becomes theirs. Or you can still remain in ownership and then pass that money out to them, you know, for expenses as you see fit.
Yeah, I'd like to. I mean, I haven't yet, and I mean to do it soon, but I'd like to do something for the kids. You know, I got two of them, and to open them an account, start contributing to it. So when they, you know, maybe not 18, you know, because I was a dumbass at 18. If my dad handed me, you know, $20,000 with a bunch of money in it, I'd probably spend it on some bullshit, you know. But maybe when they get established, you know, about, all right, buddy, here you go. Got this account for you.
I started right after my daughter was born. I started a little Roth IRA account. I think I put like 4% in it, you know, and it's slowly. I looked the other day, it had like $2,500 bucks in it, you know, and I was like, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can always do just a traditional after tax brokerage account. But there's just different limits and different benefits, one versus another. But there is that option. So either, you know, 529 is kind of the go to because you get the tax benefits now, and then you're building that wealth for them down the road. The only thing with the 529s are that you have to use them for a qualifying educational expense. And now they're widening that terminology a little bit, but it used to be for like tuition, room, board, books, meal ticket, you know, parking fees, whatever goes into your college experience, even your bet, you know, your apartment, everything that goes in your apartment. And I think they're widening that now, because imagine you're contributing to those accounts and you've got 3 or 4 kids, and by the time they get 18, they don't want to go to college, or they've already, maybe they've got a college scholarship, you know, full ride or something, or maybe they don't want to do college and want to do anything else, and you want to help them start a business and buy, whether it's buy machinery, equipment, you know, get the LLC started. You wouldn't necessarily be able to use that money for that.
Yeah.
So there's kind of some pros and cons to it. I don't want to give, again, everything we're saying today is not financial advice. It's just, you know, generalities.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And then my buddy said, you know, at work, we talk about investing, you know, sometimes he's like, man, I'm not giving you financial advice, but this is what I would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty smart, though. Does every state have a 529 deal like that?
I don't know if every state does, but most of them. Yeah, I mean, I'd say probably 30, 35 out of the 50. Obviously, Texas does. There's a ton of them. And then that's another thing. If you're in one state and you're born and then you move for job or get transferred for work, you know, does that work in that state? And usually they do. And nowadays they're changing all of that. So it benefits us more than, you know, the company.
So what you're saying is when you have a kid, Pooh, you're going to do a 529 account?
Probably so, yeah.
Is there a kid in the future?
Not right now. Well, you never know.
You never know, man. You never know.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll get into some more interesting topics.
Yeah.
We've done some educational, which is good.
There's still a little bit of educational. I still want you to ask
some small educational topics, and we'll get into some different stuff. So we'll take a quick break.
So for the listeners, you will not be able to see. Since we started this podcast, I feel like I've gotten a little bit smarter, so I had to go ahead and throw on my sports coat because – sitting next to Curtis, who is, you know, well-spoken and very knowledgeable of the money-making arts, I had to dress up a little bit. So
had to up your game for the second segment.
Yeah, that's going to up my game. I even poured a Colonel Taylor instead of the Johnny Fever just to kind of, you know, step it up. I'm feeling a little bougie over here. You don't know. I might pull out $5,000 and give it to Curtis right now, see if he can make me $5,001.
We can do that.
We can do that.
You do look good in the suit.
Thanks, man.
Nice and fitted.
Yep, I got it for a funeral.
Last suit I bought was from Goodwill, and it cost me – I got a I had to go to a wedding, and the dress code – they had a dress code. There was no children allowed, and you had to wear a suit, black. I don't own a suit, and I have no need for a suit, so I told my wife, I'm going to Goodwill. I went in Goodwill. I found a sports coat, pants, shoes – and everything I needed, it was like $21 for everything, including the shoes. They were having a sale at Goodwill.
Good price.
And I tell you what, man, I couldn't differentiate my suit from the groom's suit. That's how good it looked. And people complimented my suit. And I was like, yeah, man, it's a nice one. $20.
The whole deal leading up to this, Mitchell was like, I went to Goodwill because he was very peeved. And I get it. Like, dude, first off, don't be like, hey, suit and tie. You're an asshole. But Mitchell goes, I don't own a suit, like most of us don't own suits. We own sports coats and shit like that, you know, for nice events, wear some Wranglers. But Mitchell went and bought the suit, and he goes, I want to look like a 2000s NBA.
That was my goal at first. I wanted to look like I was going into, like, the 01 NBA draft, you know?
So it wasn't fitted.
It wasn't fitted, but it ended up fitting me well.
It ended up, like, he was giving me all this, like, he's like, dude, I want to look like a box. And it ended up looking damn good. Yeah. And I saw a photo. I was like, dude, I was hoping you would look like shit. Hey,
there's nothing wrong with the nice pair of starch Wranglers, sports coat, nice boots. It's a good look down here.
No, it is. It's a damn good look. And it's always just too hot to have a three-piece suit. So just to segue from that, I just wanted to let, you know, the viewers know you've seen me do multiple changes in the past but never wear a sports coat. So here you go, wearing a dive bomb T-shirt underneath like a real jackass. Anyway, Pooh, I wanted to, you know, a little bit more on the financial stuff. You kept using a term, an acronym, in the first segment that most viewers will not know, EFT.
ETF.
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 It's a, estimated time of finish.
ETF is a term for exchange-traded fund, which is basically a basket of individual stocks, different companies that make up that particular ETF. And you can have, I think the most popular is probably QQQ and SPY. And QQQ is the bucket of pretty much, I believe it's 2,000 technology stocks. So anything related to technology is going to be in QQQ. SPY basically tracks the S&P 500, which is the largest 500 companies around. Those are probably the main two. And then the Dow Jones, that's another index. And they have an ETF for that. I think it's, there's a couple different ones.
Who was Dow?
Dow Jones is the group that manages the what we would consider value stocks and the index. So NASDAQ, in terms of risk, think of NASDAQ as your highest with all technology stocks. Now, those are the grow the fastest but also come down the quickest.
Tesla.
And then you have your S&P 500. Again, that's your 500 largest stocks, which is a mix of the value and the growth. And then your Dow Jones is your value, which are more like your dividend payers. So a lot of times your technology stocks are taking their earnings and their cash flow and putting it back into technology, whether it's AI or infrastructure or energy plants on the growth side. And then on the value side, you have, think of things we use every day, right? Your fuel in your trucks, your groceries, your transportation, whether it's, you know, all these big rigs moving freight across the country, or it's these shipping companies moving everything across the globe. Those are products we use day in, day out that basically provide value to us. And those companies are more invested in taking care of the end consumer, us. And then if you own those companies, you get dividends paid out as well. So that was a lot on ETFs, but yeah, ETFs, exchange traded funds, and you can have them for basically anything. If you want the different sectors of the market, oil and gas, financials, technology, consumer discretion, real estate, you know, I think even crypto. They've got some on crypto now. So that's the.
What's your, I don't know if you can answer this or not, like, what's your thought on crypto? Do you ever have someone that's like, hey, I would like for you to invest in crypto?
So,
or you don't really deal with that?
No, I've got some crypto, and I think it has really grown in value quite a bit. From when I was in college back in 2000, I graduated college in 2014, and I was a finance major, so we were keeping track of, obviously, the markets, and then there's this new crypto thing came out. And I think back then, crypto in, let's say, 2012 was, I want to say, like $100 Bitcoin.
I was going to talk about that after you.
I think in 2014, actually, when I graduated from school, it was about $300. And if I had money to invest, I was in college, obviously, so I didn't. But if I would have had any then, I would have started buying, and did shortly after I stopped living check to check a couple years after college. So I've got some crypto, I've got some Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, and again, this is 10 years ago, over 10, about right at so, 10 years ago.
So it's made a little bit of money.
Well, not only that, I mean, you just see the value going from 100 to 500 to 1,000 to 5,000, 20,000, 50,000.
It's like 115,000 right
now. Yeah, it's up there, and not just in the value aspect. We think about it as more as a store of value, different than currency, because currencies have exchange rates, right? So if we as in the federal government here, we control the price of the dollar, and if some other country is doing something we don't like, we have power to make that exchange rate go up to make your own country's value, currency less value. Well,
with Canada.
Crypto, it's global. It goes back to supply and demand. I mean, anybody with a cell phone and a signal can buy or sell or trade. So I think, you know, especially for these young viewers, again, not financial advice, do your research, but probably wouldn't be a bad place to put some money.
Yeah, I feel like a real asshole because in 2013 I did have a full-time job. That was like my first job, graduated high school, didn't do the college thing like we were talking about earlier. But a coworker of mine was like, have you heard of this stuff, this crypto, and kind of explained it to me, and I was like, you're a stupid
jackass.
Sounds
like a pyramid scheme, right?
Yeah, pyramid scheme. I was like, you're a stupid jackass. And now at the time, I think it was like I remember this conversation. Now I feel like a dummy. It was like $313 like per Bitcoin.
Could you imagine if you would have bought, I'll buy a couple of them.
Dude, and I had the money. Like I wasn't making
What's 300 bucks to you back then?
Not much because I was making like $20 an hour. I was working every day of overtime. Like I was, you know, like when I was 18 years old, I was had like, you know, making like $60,000 a year, you know, which is great for an 18-year-old. And I was like, dude, I said, this will never become anything. And now it's $115,000.
And a lot of that goes into that is when you're 20 years old, you don't give a fuck about your retirement. I mean, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Like, you don't even think about it.
I didn't invest a single dime like until I was 20. From 18 to 20, I went 2 years of just freaking, I spent every dime I had, like, and not on anything good.
That goes back to my introduction.
Yeah.
About everything that I used to do. I mean, I have lived a pretty good young life, but a lot of people took the other route and started working and making, you know, career decisions, and I kind of put that off. But, you know, the experiences are worth a lot more than money. Can't take the money with you.
You can't. And, you know, if I would have started investing when I was 18 instead of when I was 20, you mm-hmm. know, just that extra 2 years, it'd be so much better. But
even still, I mean, we tell our retired clients all the time, hey, go on vacation. Go do what you want to do. You worked 40, 50 years. You know, you raised a family.
Yeah. You got to spend it, man.
You got to – I mean, I know you want to have that comfortability where you don't ever have to go back to work, which most of them have. But at the same time, you know, just don't sit inside in the recliner and watch the news all day. Go out there and do something.
I feel like, you know, a bunch of these old-timers that retire – and they don't got nothing to do, it's not good for their health.
No.
You know, you see a lot of them die early because they retire and they work's all they know and they ain't got shit to do and they just diminish. You know, dude, when I retire, man, I'm going to be hunting. I'm going to be fishing. I'm going to be, you know.
I literally want to be Paul Porter.
Yeah.
I want to be Paul Porter. Retire at 54, travel the United States, hunt, fish, still hunt and fish. He was at the casino last week, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Balling out. And he literally did what I did his whole life.
Y'all know Ben Payton?
No.
Oh, man. What a guy.
Is he that guy?
Yeah, I want to be Ben when I grow up.
Nice. Well, I want to be a lot of people when I grow up. I want to be you when I grow up, Pooh.
I'm still trying to get there, man.
But
we got a long ways to go.
Anyway, I segue somewhere else. So since you've been a financial advisor, you've been in multiple different roles. You've been in different parts of the state and country. I believe you're doing it everywhere. Just kind of take us to where you started, you know, if you can, to where you're at now. So if anyone is interested that is listening to the podcast, they can they call your company and be like, hey, I want Curtis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of go into that, like almost like a shout out to your homage.
Right now, I'm at Q5 Wealth Management here in Beaumont. And like I said, we've got an office in Houston as well. And there's a group of guys and gals there that are awesome. I mean, they basically recruited me back home to Beaumont for the last three and a half years. I was working for LPL Financial up at their corporate office in Austin. And really got to see all the kind of workings of how our industry, without trying to get too deep in the weeds, we have what's known as broker dealers, and those are the big companies, LPL, Ameriprise Financial, who we're with right now, Raymond James, a couple other ones. They're, you know, the business that keeps all the accounts compliance. That's your compliance team. That's your legal. That's all your traders. That's everyone who actually physically holds custody of all the investments. We are what's considered an independent advisor, so we meet face-to-face with clients over the phone, WebEx. They invest their money with us, and we make their decision where to invest out to. So at the corporate level, at LPL, that's, you know, you work for that company. So everything you do more or less helps that company grow. Kind of just a difference in being a W-2 employee versus owning your own business, which is where we're at now, which is where I'm at now with this group. And here you just have the better option to take care of your clients and do what's right for them. As we talked about earlier, you know, putting your best foot forward, giving a good recommendation, even though it may not pay out now, financial planning, we don't charge for that, on the hopes that you bring that back to us when it's time for us to manage it. Where on the W-2 side, you're an employee, you've got sales goals, you've got metrics to hit, you've got, you know, all these different things that are going on. And so before that, I was with a gentleman by the name of Patrick Foy out here in Winnie, and he kind of brought me on board. That would have been...
Shout out, Patrick.
Shout out, Pat. That would have been 18, I guess, in 2018. He basically brought me back in under his wing, got me licensed, went through COVID, and that's how I ended up in Austin for the same firm with LPL. That's where their corporate office was. Not really a great story. Just a lot of grinding to get there. I'll say this. My first year as an advisor in 18, I made $18,000.
That's tough. The reason I asked that question is because I know where you're at now, and I want the viewers to know, like, you have worked your ass off to get where you are. You've seen different sides of it. You've seen the corporate side. You're now doing, like, you know, face-to-face shit, and you're a genuine dude. So I want people to know, like, you didn't just, like, step into this role. You made $18,000 your first year. That sucks.
Well, and that's after the that's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's
terrible. Shout out Alan, my brother. Let me live with him in an extra bedroom.
Hello, Alan. Hello, Alan.
But yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's what I kind of relate it to is walking through the marsh. Like, you know, it's like you gotta get through the mud to get where you're going to have a good time.
And sometimes you have a good time, and sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you just you walk through it, and you shit your pants.
Man, talking about the marsh, just thinking back on all those old stories, man. We were in high school, all the shit we did, walking through the marsh, all the shit we did to shoot a duck.
For chasing a duck, and we're going to spend 20 bucks on shells trying to kill them.
Yeah, I remember Mitchell threw up a whole large pizza in a pond one time just to beat some people out there running through the marsh. Like, so many stories on that.
You look back on those stories, man. It's just memories that you appreciate, you know, where we're at now, that we're, you know, the places we're able to hunt now, you know, on occasion, and then just having boats now.
Yeah, just everything's just kind of advanced. But that, the reason I'd ask that question really was just to, like, show the people that, like, you know, you've done it. You've been there. You've kind of seen – you've been in big town Austin. You're in Beaumont, Texas now. And I want people to know, you know, I trust my money with Pooh. I mean, you might not have to listen to me, but, I mean, I have a family, and he's definitely – I'm putting my family's wealth or worth up with Pooh to make me money. So
it's more – it's all based around education, right? I want to make sure that all of our clients know what to expect going into it. And we're talking about stocks and equities and ETFs and growing the portfolio, because that we're young. That's what anybody, you know, in their 30s or younger should be doing. Now, as you get older and you get to that retirement age or you're already retired, we're looking at more conserving the principal and growing off interest and not seeing accounts go down 30%, where – if that happens to us, yeah, it sucks. But
more low risk style.
Yeah, more low risk, more providing income for them if they need it, or just having it available. And then in a lot of instances, we're looking at estate planning or legacy planning, how we can transition your wealth down to your family's wealth, to your children, your beneficiaries. Kind of as we were talking about with your kids and the 529, I mean, that's the first baby step to get there. But then there's going to come a time where you've got wealth and you want to pass it down and try and leave as much out of it, out of taxation through the government, so that they get it. And there's different ways to do that with estates and trust accounts and things like that, that we won't get into today because it's a lot. But
yeah, we don't have to today.
Of, I mean, yeah, Dad knows about that.
Yeah,
he's a guy. Bit.
Yeah,
he's a guy.
Mitchell's dad's a lawyer. If you have any lawyer advice,
legal questions,
McCall. Travis McCall will get you, and then we can point you towards Pooh for financial advice.
Yep. While we're giving plugs here, let me shout out 409 Cares.
I've been looking at your koozie, and I was quite interested. It's a old-school camo, 409 Cares. I was going to see if that meant something.
Yeah, they just did a big event down at Corville's. Shout out Big Rich. What a guy, man. I don't know if y'all have had the pleasure to meet him or hang out with him.
No,
or
Big Rich is
a spot, but
solid human.
Corville's, they do good barbecue.
Good barbecue. Their Listen Pavilion is top-notch, one of the best in the state of Texas. I've been to a bunch of them, and it's, like, genuinely, I've seen some great concerts there.
They had a big event, a benefit for all the flood victims out there in Kerr County. And then, I mean, here as well, right? There's people in need everywhere, and they do a lot here locally to give back. And, I mean, 10 out of 10, two thumbs up. What a great event. Not sure how much they ended up raising that night, but I know it was a lot. A lot of good bands out there. 1701 was out there helping them cook. Just all around, just awesome. Awesome venue, awesome event. We need to do something
with them again, man.
Yeah, we've done
1701. We did a whole deal, a whole podcast with them at 1701. And top-notch barbecue in the area for sure. We got some really good barbecue in southeast Texas, but 1701's awesome.
I don't know what 1701 ranked this year in, you know, the state of Texas. Redbird, we're planning on doing some stuff with them. They got number 4 in the state. I know that.
Shout out Amir. Amir. He's got it going on out there.
Shout out Amir. Shout out Moondog. we have great barbecue around this area. Those guys are all great. They do a lot for the community. Big Rich. He's great. I've met him a bunch of times. Like, I'm not going to say that he would pick me out of a crowd and be like, oh, hey, what's up, Porter? But I've met him probably 20 times. He's a busy man. But Cold Lone Star Light, great barbecue, and he gets really good musicians to come in and play. About to segue away from all the financial questions. But I do want to ask. I just want to Mitchell earlier was – asking Pooh some financial questions.
No, I had told Pooh that I put 25 racks into Tesla, and I asked what he thought about it. I mean, I opened up a brokerage link account, is what it's called, and I threw 25 racks at Tesla in hopes that
see, this is how I get in trouble, giving financial advice.
In long term, that it, you know, hopefully do well. I've done a little research, you know, and I think in the next, you know, 5 years, it's going to do pretty good.
I brought this up because I want Mitchell to say he put a substantial amount of money into Tesla, and I want to know what Pooh's going to say on record of what he thinks of what he thinks
we're
about it.
We're going to cut
this out. No, we're not. We're not cutting this out. I just want to know
for like a 5-year plan. What do you think? I mean,
I think Tesla's in a great spot. This is all political stuff aside. If you leave Elon Musk out of it, I think the company's doing great. Actually, most people – well, let me ask you, when you think of Tesla, what do you think about?
So a lot of people are going to say cars, but they're involved in a lot of other shit other than just cars.
A lot of other things.
A lot of AI, a lot of robots, a lot of shit like that. That's
rockets,
what I'm thinking.
Mars, the moon.
The taxi stuff they're starting, the what is it called, robo-taxi?
Yeah, they're actually in Austin.
Yeah, and that's going to expand. I think.
Have you seen
good,
that?
Man.
Have you seen that thing?
Yeah, I've been in one. It's
insane. No, not the robo taxi. Their headquarters.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it's stupid.
71.
Yeah,
I think.
Is that what it is? Yeah, it's giant.
I feel like you can drive 75, 80 miles an hour for 5 minutes, and it's from start to finish. It's still there.
Yeah, it's stupid how big it is.
And it's huge.
It's over there by that raceway,
huge.
Not far from it. Huge.
But would you think that's, you know, a decent little investment there,
Tesla,
or you think
I
shit the bed?
If you don't need the money and you put it in as 25 grand, I mean, it's like going to the casino and putting it all on. Well, I wouldn't say putting it all in black or red. You got better chances than that. But it is, I mean, an investment, and I personally think it'll be fine with that automation they have there in Austin, which is, again, the cars are just one thing. They're working on quite a bit of automation, and the story that I was kind of told was, if you own a business, and most of anybody that you know that owns a business probably would say that their labor is their highest overhead, depending on how big your company is, right? if you're producing things, you have to have a lot of manpower. So usually labor is your highest cost. Salaries, time off, insurance, benefits, taxes, all of that. Well, if you can take that and take six people off the floor and put in three robots or automated devices that cost $90,000.
Yeah, and I think that's what this world's coming to. I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it is. It's the reality of the what we're living in right now.
Yeah, and as we're kind of talking about that, I mean, AI is definitely here, and it's still coming, but I mean, it's not going to, in my opinion, the whole world isn't just going to go computerized and AI is going to take over everything. I mean, you still have all your jobs, especially down here in this area. Anything related to manual labor or turning valves, wrenches, anything like that.
Literally our jobs.
I mean, HVAC, plumbing, home building, all of that. The closest thing I've seen so far for AI is those they're like lawnmowers, like battery-powered lawnmowers. I don't think
the blue-collar crowd has anything to worry about in the next 15 to 20 years, at least, you know, where we're at now.
No, anything, it just makes – it makes everything we do just more efficient day-to-day. I mean, some of the AI stuff is great. You know, if you're looking for something or not sure how to do it, ask a quick question.
ChatGPT, I asked what my taxes are going to look like this year, and it, like, gave me a full-blown, like – what I'm supposed to return, all this shit. It's only half the year down. You know?
How's she looking? She looking good?
Yeah, it's looking good.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And I do want to ask you as well, Pooh, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but with the new big, beautiful bill that President Trump passed with the overtime benefits for the no tax on overtime, how does that look for people
us? You tell me. How would that look?
Well, I know it's not like all of our overtime, right? It's going to be like a certain threshold you meet, and then you'll be, you know, not taxed. I mean, I don't know as far as that.
Well, he might not. I don't think he really deals with that.
You don't do, like, anything to do with taxes or nothing, though?
I mean, we do. I would just look at what the bill is for this next year and
now
base it on that. But that would go into if you're not getting taxed. I mean, that would actually help you out a lot, that if your, you know, salary is X amount and then overtime you're making great money. But we all know there's a break-even point
right on
the overtime. Back to my turnaround days. Project manager, there's only a certain amount of overtime you can work that makes it worth your while to being out there because they're taxing it at such a high rate. But if they're not, well, then that
– I mean, I think in me and Porter's situation, it's going to be like $25,000. We're going to get tax-free, which is still – it's better than nothing, right?
Yeah. I think more on the Pooh deal, and I think it was underneath the same bill, was the every new child born, they're putting a – 1,000 or 1,500 in like a SP 500 account.
Yeah. I did
now
see that.
That's something you would deal with, and that's, to me, that's very cool. I mean, in an 18-year period, I asked ChatGPT on this. I was like, "How much would that be?" I was thinking it was like going to be like a stupid amount of money, but it's not. But it's better than nothing,
right? And you just, again, it's one of those you set and forget, and you start at a young age. And
but if you add a little bit, like I started like putting in the, like I started like adding, what if I put $200 a month in it? And it went from like, you know, like $14,000 to where it was like $30,000, mm-hmm. You know, like it was something like that. I was like, well, that's a really good thing that they implemented.
Yeah.
And that'd be something that you would know more about than if me and Mitchell work our assholes off on a turnaround and if we're going to get taxed.
But that's, I will say, as we're kind of talking about taxes, that's the number one thing we deal with our older clients is taxes and insurance. That becomes your main, in most cases, your main, not problem, but just what you're worried about the most, right? When we're young, we're trying to take our money, save it, invest it, grow it. If we pay taxes along the way, it's whatever. We're just kind of going, you know, through day-to-day life. But when you get retired and when you have to start pulling your required minimum distribution at 73 years old. So everything that's in a 401k, when you get, you retire, you roll that out to an IRA, move it with us. From there, when you turn 73, you have to start taking money out. The government forces you to take money out. And it's usually anywhere from like 3 or 5% of your value. So let's say you've got $1 million and you've got to take out 5% that year. Okay. On top of that, you've got to pay taxes on everything that comes out. So you're paying whatever amount each year, giving some to the government. And for me personally, like I do it probably not every day, but we do it throughout the year. It just sucks. Like it's just a painful thing to go through.
Yeah, I mean, paying taxes just sucks. I mean, especially with me, the line of me and Porter's work, the amount of taxes we pay every year. I mean, I'm already at an ungodly amount number.
I've already paid more in taxes than you made your first year as a financial advisor.
Government loves you know, people like you.
Curtis, I do want to say, I for the viewers, yet again, my jacket's off. We're going to go on a lighter note for this final segment. But and I say final segment, we might go for another hour. I don't know. But there's a serious, very serious question a while back that Mitchell asked me on the podcast, and I don't know if you saw it, but if there was 100 men versus one gorilla, who's winning on that?
What are the men? Who are the men?
Average Joe's.
You. 100 yous versus a gorilla.
Man, I don't know. I got a bad back. I'm in my 30s, as I mentioned. 100 of me versus a gorilla. I think we got him.
Oh, really?
No, that's not what we said. Yeah, we went through a whole spill of the gorilla would rip all of our heads off.
Yeah, like 100 of me, I'm in decent shape for.
There's 100.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but okay, we're not going to stay on this topic too long because we've already been through this.
Yeah, we've been through it.
There's only so many of you that can attack this gorilla at once.
But I'm also not just going to discredit myself like that and think a gorilla's going to beat me. I mean, he probably would, but I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, well, I guess you're more manly than I am. I said it would rip my...
100 of you?
I'm not that tough.
Get 3 of you on the neck.
I like to look look tougher than I am.
Silverback?
Oh, yeah.
You're done. We're all done. We're all done.
You're done. You're dead. No, but on a different note, so Curtis, and for anyone that's in the Southeast Texas area, they've heard of the Rice Festival. We've talked about it on here before. He started a really cool deal, the Texas Rice Festival Golf Classic.
That's right.
It's on a shirt, but
that's right.
It's what, year four now?
Three.
Three. Year three.
So myself and Caleb Laverne, couldn't have done it without him, and obviously all of our sponsors that are just tremendous that help us do this. Caleb and I started on stage crew at Rice Fest probably over 10 years ago. And we just helped, you know, we set up a lot of the fencing around the stage. We help all the bands unload, offload, all that. We hang the tarps. You know, it's kind of a thankless job, but we love it. I mean, it's been awesome. And we just kind of got to the point of, well, we're getting older, and as I mentioned, I'm in my 30s. I got a bad back, so.
Yeah, you're old. We get it.
So we just figured, man, why don't we try and do something else? And the year we did it, Justin DeVillier was the president, and we approached him, said, hey, this is kind of what we're thinking. What do you think? And he said, just bring it to the board. He said, I'm all on board. Bring it to the board, see if they'll vote on it. And so they did, and that was 3 years ago. We had it at Chambers County. Last year, we had it at Brentwood Country Club. This year, again, it'll be at Brentwood Country Club. 9:19, 8 a.m. We've got breakfast, lunch, all that, drinks. We've got the pool afterwards. Thank you, Lisa Kuhn. And we're going to have some live music out there. It's going to be a great time.
For those of you who don't know, and the Rice Festival is just out here in Chambers County. We live in Jefferson County. Chambers County is our neighbor. Just a big festival that we do here every year, celebrating all the rice farmers and the rice production, and it's a great time. They have good live music, vendors, food, rides. Been going to it since I was a
mere child. I mean, it's been around for like 40 years.
But
50, we missed the 50th anniversary during
the hurricane, right?
One of those damn hurricanes.
Yeah, the hurricane. I was pissed off.
53 or 54.
So, we got a booth out there every year. We're out there every year with the Bayou Dragon booth, hanging out, meeting people, having fun.
Yeah, and the reason I brought that up was if anyone isn't interested that listens to this podcast, if they want to play in it, if they want to sponsor it, if they just want to come hang out, you know, get with us. We can point you in the right direction. You can get with Curtis.
Yep.
Get with Texas Rice Festival. Like, anybody, like, just we can get you in with them. Like, I want to get a team to play, and I'm trying to.
Yeah, I mean, even if you can't play, the after party, I guess what we'll call it, starts at about 1 out there at the pool. We'll have a golf simulator from Party Tee Time. Give them a little plug.
Yeah, they just did a thing over at Jenkins.
They'll be out there, and they do, like, closest to the pin, longest drive. So bring some money out there. It's a good time. Everything that we make from the golf tournament goes back to the scholarship fund for the Rice Fest. And then they just give out scholarships year after year to local kids.
Yeah, it's a really good deal. I mean, we go and Venn there, but I know that the money that we spend to Venn there goes to a good cause to either help the setup for the Rice Festival or, you know, goes to scholarships. So it's all a good deal. And if you haven't been to the Texas Rice Festival, and there's people that come from Houston all the way from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, come out. It's a huge deal. It's multiple days long, you know.
Good music, good food.
Got, oh, great food. The music, I should pull it up. We got Teague Brothers, I know, will be there.
Yeah. Running on. No, they're at Gator Fest.
They're at Gator Fest.
Who else we got out there? Aaron Watson, Tanner Yersay.
Oh, Aaron Watson's playing at the Rice Fest?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sweet.
No, there's a great lineup. You can find it on Texas Rice Festival on Facebook.
Was it last year when Treaty Oak was out there?
Yeah, Treaty Oak was out there last year. I've seen Joe Nichols there. I've seen
Treaty Oak was, you know, solid.
Treaty Oak's dope.
They were awesome. Awesome. Probably the best band I've ever seen out there.
Rance May.
Shout out Rance May and the Coyotes.
Rance May and the Coyotes.
Flatland Cavalry. They do a really good kind of pregame for their show. Great guys. I mean, everybody that comes out there is awesome. We've had no problems with any of the musicians.
No, that's the thing. It's a hidden gem down here in Southeast Texas, and people drive from hours away because it's really, you know, there's rides for the kids. There's great food. Yeah. And it's like people think carnival food is like, no, come down here. You have KC Burgers. You have Old Boy that's always set up by us with the fried ribs.
Pistolettes, fried ribs,
you're gonna
pork
get
kebabs,
rice balls.
Everything you could think of.
Food's great.
Top notch.
The music is top notch. Like, it's always a damn good time. Even if you don't come by and see us and, you know, you listen to this and come – just go for the music and food.
I believe Wednesdays are free. We've got one of our sponsors that cover the gate fees for Wednesday night. So come out. We've got live music, too. That's the first night of the festival. It's awesome. Parking's free. Hopefully the weather, you know, holds off. You never know down here
in
Southeast Texas.
October in Southeast Texas is just so iffy. But I've been at the Rice Festival when it's 100. I've been at the Rice Festival when it's 20.
We're Bayou Dragons are out there the whole time, you know, hanging out, just having fun, basically. Having fun and meeting people and just having a good time.
Yes. Next question, Pooh. Did we land on the moon?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Have you seen the video of it?
I mean, yeah. I think everybody on Earth has.
I mean, it's like if you've ever been to Hawaii, you probably want to go back, right? Key West.
I have been to both.
You know what I mean? I'm just not on board with it.
Okay. Bigfoot.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of them running around.
Okay, Bigfoot. Nessie.
I don't know enough about it, man. Something in the lake, probably. Water, deep water. I mean, there's shit down in the Gulf we don't even know
about.
Oh,
there's shit. I guarantee
you
there's.
Did you know there's a humpback whale? What do they call them? What do you call a group of whales?
A pod.
Pod of humpback whales off the coast of Mississippi, and Mississippi State's research team has been tracking them down there. I mean, probably no more than 200 miles. There's a pod of humpback whales in the Gulf of Mexico, just south of Mississippi.
Wow! Did you know that he's been on the podcast more than anybody else? Ryan Warhola was on Shark Week this year because he was the first one to spot a great white shark out of the Sabine. Years ago, got photos, and then did the interview and did a full-blown episode on Shark Week this year.
You're out, Pooh. You want a Mickey?
Sure.
Mitchell's going to get Pooh a cold snack. But, yeah, there's great white sharks at the Sabine. Ryan just did a whole Shark Week episode on it.
I wouldn't put anything past them. I mean, I've seen we saw dolphins up there in Taylor's Bayou after one of those hurricanes. We used to catch crabs. It was Port Arthur Country Club. Then it was – Bell Oaks. Now it's the venue at Bell Oaks. That's an awesome spot, too, if y'all have never been out there.
Yeah, they just had a really big
– They just had Steel Cracker out there for a big concert.
Yeah, Matt was out there hanging out with him. He's bringing a lot of good names out there. I think Dogay owns it.
Yeah, Dogay is running
it
now.
He's bringing a lot of good stuff out there. But back when we were in high school, I guess Rita came through, and we were catching Mondo blue crabs out of the golf
course. And redfish.
Dude. Yeah, all of that right there.
Yeah, right there on Taylor's Bayou.
The biggest redfish I've ever caught in my life. We were in North Fork by I-10. Should be the freshest water on the bayou. I'm talking like 48-inch red. It was the most ridiculous shit. It was me and Bortles. We're setting out jug lines, and that thing's just dish, 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 running. And I was like, oh, we might. I said, we either got a big op, we got a gator. Pulled it up, redfish. I was like,
yeah, that was crazy. I know when that hurricane came through, that people were catching all kinds of shit in the bayou.
They're catching on 73.
Hell, on my street, on my road, I could look down in the canal, and there was crabs in there after the water had receded and everything.
Yeah, we've had our fair share of hurricanes. I'm over them.
Oh, bro. We had a whole episode. Like, Mitchell made the whole title, like, my face with a hurricane behind it. Like,
Porter got reamed, man.
I've had my – but I'm not the only one, just this area. And that's a lot of these things, like the Rice Festival, you know, they do good on, like, you know, post hurricane years. You know, a lot of that money gets given back to the community.
I remember
community.
When the plane wrecked at the Rice Fest?
The plane wreck?
The plane wreck at the Rice Fest. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah. When they hit the power line.
That was a good Rice Fest. We were about a foot underwater before that happened, the day before. And somehow it all drained out and we took an airplane off was that 124?
Yeah, off 124.
Crashed it right on 124.
Yeah, that's a way to start a Rice Fest. Do you have any more? I like these quick. I think this should be a new segment.
Well, let me ask y'all if y'all have heard of, again, this is rumored. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've been hearing a couple of things about it, that all of the farmland around here, I'm sure y'all've heard of the carbon capture that Oxy and Chevron's doing around the area.
Yeah, a lot of the places that we hunt actually do that. Very lucrative for the owners of the property,
which is awesome. I'm glad my farmers ranchers getting paid out. But what I had just heard is that the companies that paid them for these spots are not going to allow them to hunt on it this year because they want it to have no water, and so the spots that they picked just happen to be most of the duck ponds that everybody hunts. But they're, and again, I don't know this to be factual information.
So
this is just
what Pooh's talking about is these big I guess their oil and gas companies are coming into Southeast Texas, and they're offering these large landowners that they pick out this land with underground salt domes, I'm assuming is what it is, and they're injecting some kind of
they pump under, I'm going to fuck this up. They pump either under the water table into the sands or vice versa.
They're pumping.
It's not supposed to go in the water.
Whatever they're pumping is pumping. They're CO2. Pumping it in.
Yeah, CO2, which is not, it's not like it's not harming the environment. Actually, the grass that is grown there is bigger than what it's supposed to be.
They're pumping the CO2 into the ground under, it's basically marshland.
Right.
And a lot of this marshland is leased up by a bunch of hunting guides and, you know, different people that do different guide services, stuff like that. And what Pooh's saying is they're not going to allow water where they're doing that. So that's probably going to affect quite a few people.
Now, for one side, the ranchers, the owners of the property, I mean, if I owned, say, 10,000 acres and they were doing that, I wouldn't give a shit. Because the amount of money that you're making off of the hunting is minuscule compared to what Chevron Phillips is giving you to pump carbon dioxide into, you know, your land just to get rid of it. A natural, you know, reoccurring element of the earth. But I do feel sorry because there's a giant majority, and a bunch of them are friends of ours, that make their living off of, you know, our duck season, our gator season, our everything. I imagine if they don't allow duck hunting on it, well, if they're taking away water so you don't hunt on that property, there's not going to be any gator hunting, there's not going to be bird hunting, there's not going to be fishing. You're taking a lot of money from the normal everyday guy that is running their own
running an outfit.
Self-proclaimed business.
Right.
I mean,
I'm curious to see how that pans out.
Right. I mean, again, this is all allegedly.
This is hearsay.
No proof or nothing, but
I mean, that's
we'll see in 2 months.
Yeah, it starts September.
Yeah, we got teal season coming up, which they shortened to
we could talk about that too.
God,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be nice if they just moved all the seasons back, just started like 3 weeks later?
I would prefer later.
Early till season's great. We keep early till season, but we don't usually see any big ducks down here till January.
Well, no, what they should do, like to me, they should start the first half. Because they always do the split, and then the second split's right after Thanksgiving. They should start the first split after Thanksgiving.
I agree.
November, December, split, New Year's, and then go January, February.
Because that's really all we have to hunt down here. I mean, we can fish, obviously, too, but we don't have deer. Like, there's not really a deer. There is a deer season.
Well, you have
– but
you have to – like, you have to be in East Texas. You have to be in the woods. Like, no one around here is like, oh, I got a deer leash out here. It's like, no, you just got some property. You might have a couple stray whitetail.
Yep.
But – yeah, September till season for Texas is one of the best. Like, it's like the mecca of blue-winged till hunting in North America during that time. But then after that, it's honestly garbage until December. And we have a whole first split of mediocre hunting where you're still just shooting teal.
Yeah.
Majority.
I mean, we shoot till, I mean, you're shooting
teal. We shoot teal all the way to the last day of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
tired of hunting them.
Yeah, I mean, our season should really be November, January, February, March, instead of, you know, November, December.
You ever hunted in Mississippi or on the Delta anywhere, Louisiana?
No, we've done Kansas, we've done Montana, we've done Oklahoma, we've done all that, but we haven't done the Mississippi Delta.
I've got some buddies out there that got some really good property.
So we're going there in December?
We could, yeah.
You heard it now, that's on live. Curtis is taking us in December to the Mississippi Delta.
Let's go. I got to call my guy, but I think he'll be fine with
it. We have a 2 week span of being off in December, our first weeks of December. If you can work that out, we can go.
Don't set it in stone, but we'll talk about it.
It is now set in stone.
It is set in stone. We'll be in Mississippi hunting.
Now we are trying to figure out what we're going to do this year. I've been talking to Tanner about it weekly. About where the hell we're going this year. We go somewhere different every year. We try to, unless, you know, we want to go back to some of the same spots. But
Tanner's never been to Kansas, and I really like Kansas.
Yeah, I like Kansas. I think
we did that one spur of the moment hunt great. With RJ, and that was a great weekend. And we went in October.
And we had fun.
We had fun.
We had fun. Even though, I mean, we had some good hunting, but, you know, it's fun leaving town and going and hunting somewhere else.
Yeah.
Regardless of how... You know, how well you do, you're going to shoot birds, but...
But Kansas in December would be literally just lights out compared to Kansas in October.
Yeah.
I mean, we're shooting teal in October up there. Yeah. We could be shooting mallards and, you know, widgeon, shit like that in December.
Yeah, we're going to do something fun, man. And,
what about the gator season? I know Rance got something for y'all.
Yeah. I plan on doing a lot of hunting with him this year, doing a lot. He signed with that boot company out of Houston, and they have a lot of hunts set up. And
so is that how it works? You go on a gator hunt, get the hide, send it to them?
No, you get your hide tan from Porter's Processing, which we've had Casey on here before, and we've had Mark Porter, the originator. Anyone that's been an avid follower of the podcast knows, you know, the situation of what we are with the alligators, but... basically, you'll go hunt with Rance, and depending on, you know, the situation, there's a good chance you might be getting filmed by us. Like, I plan on doing a lot of filming this year with him. Do an alligator hunt with him, get filmed, you get your hides tanned with Casey, and then you can get leather work done by, I think it's Republic Boot Company out of Houston.
I think that's right.
And they do a lot of big-time people, and they're really good at what they do. They actually just got a... recognized as like one of the number one companies in like the Houston, like in Harris County. So they're a big deal, and you can do all that with, you know, Cold Blooded Outfitters. That's actually Rance's deal now. Cold Blooded Outfitters. Rance May, he's been on the podcast multiple times. Y'all can reach out to him, Rance May Music on Instagram, Facebook. You know, I mean, he has a certain amount of tags that he does, and a bunch of them are already taken up. But, you know, he still has trophy hunts available. I know a bunch of those are going to be like just, you know, someone that wants to get some shit done.
Yeah.
You don't want a 13-foot alligator to get a belt done. No. You want to get an 8-9-footer. So I know there's going to be a bunch of trophy hunts available this year, and I'm going to try to be as available as I can in September for that, because I can take Mitchell's camera out, even if he's not available, and just do a short clip of, you know, the hunt. And those are some of our best videos, is, you know, taking someone out for their first alligator hunt.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
That's a big deal. It's right around Gator Fest, and it's a big – that's the thing with Gator Fest coming up, if no one's ever been there. Great live music also. It's ran by a good organization. But you have the biggest alligator contest, I guess I would say North America. I don't know anyone else that's doing
what – definitely in the state, probably.
In Texas,
agree.
For sure.
I would agree.
But I don't know what they're doing in Louisiana. But, I mean, Gator Fest is an awesome time. And this year, we're going to be out there again. Great entertainment. It's the second weekend of September, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We're going to be set up just like last year, Cajun Labs.
Gator season don't start till the 10th. You have the 10th through the 30th. That's the difference between us and Louisiana. They have like a full month, which they have, rightfully so. They have literally like 20 times the amount of tags that we have. Mm. But the size of gators that we brought in last year, like if you went pound for pound, Texas is just blowing out of the water. I mean, Rance had five or six gators over 13 foot last year.
Like, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big, big.
That's ridiculous. Like, people that watch Swamp People and shit, you see their 8-9-footers, like, that's everyday occurrence here. We're going for them, you know, mondos. So
we got them. We got some big gators.
If you
want to
see
here.
Some big alligators at Texas Gator Fest coming up.
And the competition they do is called the Gator Roundup. And
the Marshmaster Classic.
And the Marshmaster Classic will be taking place as well with Casey.
Yeah, I just got with him. We're going to be helping him promote that, basically, which is free advertising for us. Like, people that come in that sign up for the Marsh Master, they post their pictures of an alligator, we're going to share them online, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Someone kills a big old gator, it'll be posted on the Bayou Dragons. It'll be posted on all social media platforms. So anyone that buys a hunt and gets posted on Porter's Processing is likely to be shared in front of 200,000+ people.
There you go.
So, I mean, it's a good deal they're running. I'm glad to be a part of it.
We got some fun stuff here in the upcoming future. Gator Fest, Rice Fest, duck season will be kicking off soon.
Texas Rice Festival Golf Tournament.
Golf tournament.
Don't forget about that.
It's going to be a good we're about to kick off here soon. We're about to start actually getting ready.
Nice weather, college football.
Yes.
A lot of things to look forward to.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, I'm super – that's my favorite. The fall is – and not because of just hunting, just everything. Better whiskey weather, everything. We do this out in a shop with no AC.
I can't wait till it cools down, man.
I'd love to be doing this in a Patagonia.
We'll be wearing jackets later, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I would love to have you on again, Pooh. And even if it's not for, you know, financial advice, which I think you did a very good job tonight. I mean, in just a short period of time, I think if anyone that listens to this will be like, okay, you know, maybe I need to get my shit together. I haven't thought about this. ETFs, you know.
Which isn't out of the norm. I mean, none of us thought about this shit when we were younger.
No. Yeah, you're not behind the ball. You just think about what you're doing and start as soon
as
possible.
Just get on the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get on the ball. And most of our listeners are young enough to get ahead of the game. And, you know, no one wants to work forever.
No, you don't.
I mean, I want to retire earlier than when I can start drawing out 401k. So,
yep.
I mean, I'm putting money with Pooh. Mitchell's about to start putting money with Pooh. We're going to be, you know.
It's mainly about putting away what you don't need today for what you can want later and still have the opportunity to do that.
Put that on a shirt. I thought it was going to be a little bit smoother than that, but that'd be a big shirt.
We'll think about rebranding it. Yeah. Then we can have a dual Bayou Dragons and
Pooh
Q5 Wealth Management shirt.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I'm about to be putting all my money there.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, Pooh.
And thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
It's a blast. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
Thank y'all for listening.